5. Vayam cha tvam cha ye cheme. Dulya kalash characharah. Janma mrityo yata paschat. Pranayvam aduna pibaho. Vayam jatvam chamimimi. Tulya kalas chara chara. Janma mrityo yata paschat. Janma mrityo yata paschat. Pranayvam aduna pibaho. Vayam cha ye cheme. Janma mrityo yata paschat. Pranayvam aduna pibaho. Vayam cha tvam tuti. Tulya kalas chara chara. Janma mrityo yata paschat. Pranayvam aduna pibaho. Vayam cha tvam cha jeti me. Tulya kalas chara chara. Janma mrityo yata paschat. Pranayvam aduna pibaho. Vayam cha tvam cha jeti me. Tulya kalas chara chara. Janma mrityo yata paschat. Pranayvam aduna pibaho. Tulya kalas chara chara. Janma mrityo yata paschat. Pranayvam aduna pibaho. Vayam chitti me. Tulya kalas chara chara. Janma mrityo yata paschat. Pranayvam aduna pibaho. Vayam.
We, the great sages and the ministers, and adherents of the king, cha, and tvam, you, cha, also, ye, hu, cha, also, ime, these, tulya kalaha, assembled at the same time. Chara acharaha, moving and not moving. Janma, birth, mrityo, and death. Yata, just as. Paschat, after. Prak, before. Na, not. Evam, thus. Adhuna, at present. Api, although, O king. Translation: O king, both you and us, your advisors, wives, and ministers, as well as everything moving and not moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time, are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, this situation did not exist, and after our death, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation is now is temporary, although it is not false. Purport. The Mayavadi philosophers say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. Brahman, the living being, is factual, but his present bodily situation is false. According to Vaishnava philosophy, however, the present situation is not false, but temporary. It is like a dream. A dream is not does not exist before one falls asleep, nor does it continue after one awakens. The period for dreaming exists only between these two, and therefore it is false in the sense that it is impermanent. Similarly, the entire material creation, including our own creation and those of others, is impermanent. We do not lament for the situation in a dream before the dream takes place or after it is over. And so during the dream, or during the dreamlike situation, one should not accept it as factual and lament about it. This is real knowledge. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Chaktasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakada Mayam Tadati Svapadantikam Pancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Morning. Okay, can everyone hear me? Okay, so today we're not going to have a Bhagavatam class as usual. We're gonna mix things up a little bit. So for today's Bhagavatam class, we're actually going to do a little surprise glorification of Jitendriya. And the person who's going to lead us in this is going to be our very dear Jai Baladev. So I'm going to invite Jai Baladev to come up. He spent a lot of time with Jitendriya Prabhu over the years. So I'm going to request him to come up and give the Bhagavatam class today. So Jai Baladev.
This is weird. One thing. Thank you. I need directives here. Thank you. That'll help me. So one thing Nityananda Prabhu told me before I gave classes that talk very slow, because I know I'm gonna talk like speed racer. So if anyone knows me to talk super fast, just raise your hand. So not everyone, because that might make me feel bad. So. Thank you. Everyone could give class today, so everyone directs me, so please. So my question is, how many of you don't go anywhere, Jitendriya? How many of you guys know Jitendriya Prabhu? Stupid question, right? So how many of you know that he's a Prabhupada disciple and he's been in the movement for at least 40 years? So before I continue with my routine, would anybody have any memorable experience of Jitendriya Prabhu to share? You know, just so I can look at my notes. fill in the space. So, Nithya Nanda Pran Prabhu? Or, yeah.
In general, I've never seen Jitendra Prabhu laze. Never. I mean, he is definitely physically older than all of us, but never lazy. Never lazy.
Actually, can I cut in real quickly?
Yeah, please do. I'm just prodding you, so go ahead.
We were taking out the garbage maybe a couple weeks ago, and Jitendra had a couple of devotees, you know, stand on top of the garbage with boxes to crush the garbage down. That's because the garbage man, once they see the top completely full with garbage, they actually charge you $50 extra if it's not flat. So Jitendra, what he'll do, he'll save us like, you know, $50 every week. He'll actually stand on the boxes and crush them down. And so then what he did was, you know, the garbage is pretty high up. So what he did was jumped up and landed on his knees and was completely fine. Usually most, you know, people, you know, over 60, you know, or lose a limb or something. So he's stronger than all of us, that's a fact. So
one thing about him is, you know, we can take out the garbage a couple of times a year. But to do it every day or at least three times a week without ever complaining, without asking for help, is just astounding. And no airs about it. Just, I mean, there's so many persons who've come serve Kishore Kishori in a very flamboyant way, wonderful things, but Jitendra Prabhu's been here 40 years doing the same things again and again and day in and day out, and just he has an eye and penchant for cleanliness. He sees things. He also has penchant for other things, but that's a separate issue. But just everything is clean, and he wants to clean. He'll get on his knees and clean again and every day. Every day. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. So there was actually a secret. We kept this a secret. Actually, Daita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu did me a favor. They actually told everyone in the ashram that I was giving class. So then when they saw Daita, you know, in the ashram, they was like, why aren't you giving class? So then I was thinking, you know, they was like, you're not giving class? So it's excellent that, you know, this pastime comes up. But actually the reason, to, in all seriousness, that, thank you. Please thank you. So the reason I'm asked for this opportunity is because during my initiation day, I kind of felt guilty, actually sincerely. So there was a few people I thanked, Nityananda Pran Prabhu, my brother and my mother. And when I thanked Nityananda Pran Prabhu, first of all, I meant Nityananda Pran Prabhu and family. Himangi and Pralad. Where's Pralad? Oh, there you are. And so it's just like when you thank like the Yadu dynasty, you mean the whole family. So when I said, you know, I thank Nityananda Pran Prabhu, I meant the Himangi dynasty. So actually one thing I want to mention about Himangi, or just mothers in general, because she kind of reminds me of my mother. So there's one experience. This whole Kartik has been kind of pretty very interesting. So I'd like to tell you one story that happened maybe a few days ago with me and Prahlad. So is Arjun Gopal Prabhu here? I saw him earlier. He was actually involved in it. So basically, you know, when Dhammadarashakam started, Arjun Gopal Prabhu started to sing. So I was playing Mridanga. And so I thought to myself, you know, I won't sing the Dhammadarashakam this time. I'll just focus on my intricate Mridanga beats. And so then Arjun Gopal humbled me. He was like, would you play more simple? So then I was thinking, you know, jokingly, I was thinking, how dare you? That was my mind saying. And so then Prahlad didn't know what was going on. He was actually maybe offering his Giwik lamp. So then he came over later. And then he started playing Mridanga. So then I was thinking, I'm like, Prahlad is playing way more intricate than me. You know, how come you're not saying nothing to him? And he actually saw that I was trying to follow Prahlad. So then I stopped playing, and Prahlad is such a saint. He actually felt bad. He didn't know what was going on. He actually felt bad that I was trying to follow him, but I couldn't. And so he actually was in between stopping and starting. He kept on telling me while Arjun Gopal was playing the Mridanga. He was like, you know, why don't you pick the Mridanga up? So I was like, no, Krishna doesn't want me to play this time. And the reason for that is because I remember my brother. One thing I'll never forget about, he's known to associate with Iyengar Prabhu a lot. Everyone probably knows Iyengar Prabhu a lot. And so the one lesson he took from Iyengar Prabhu is that the one thing that fried Iyengar Prabhu out the most is that people who play Mridanga and don't chant Hare Krishna or chant their... So then I realized, you know, I was thinking, you know, I was being humble and I was grateful for that experience, but Prahlad had no idea what was going on. So then Himangi, Matsuji, and all the other Matajis were behind Prahlad. And so they was wondering, what's going over there? He kept on starting to play Mridanga, then put it to the side, played the Mridanga, put it to the side. So then Himangi, Matsuji, I felt their energy come. I felt the vibration. Then I told Prahlad, you're in trouble. I was like, look behind you. And then she came and gave Prahlad an instruction. She walked over and was like, that was her instruction. And then he understood, you know, I better continue to play the Mridanga. And so brings to mind usually it's considered disrespectful to call people out of their name. But, you know, and Jitendra calls me out of my name all the time. And then I realized over the years that he's actually sent out of love. And so do you remember your nickname? I'm sure you know what Jitendra has for you. Can you all tell us what it is? Mother Superior. That's because he knows Mama doesn't play that.
Yeah.
Mother Superior.
Mother Superior. The reason is everyone knows she doesn't play that. Mama don't play that. That's why, and that's actually a compliment, and that reminds me of my mom growing up. So Prahlad got the dose. And this actually reminds me of a story a few days ago. This Kartik has been pretty amazing. I'm very grateful to have it. That Nityananda Prime probably told me, actually. And so it's just one of his first experiences with Ramapada Maharaj. So actually, if anyone wants to thank Nityananda Prime Prabhu for his classes, you should thank Himangi, because she actually is the one who brought him to Krishna consciousness. So anytime you say thank you, just turn to Himangi. Don't thank him, thank Himangi Matsuji. So this story reminds me that Nityananda Prime Prabhu told me the other day. He said, you know, when I asked him, I'm talking fast. Yeah, I know, clearly. That's because I need some water. I told Himanshu to give me some water. All right, thank you. God, I wish I had some water real quick. Anyway, what was I saying? All right, cool, you're right. So anyways, one of the nice experiences, thank you. Thank you. So I asked Nityananda Prime, what was one of your first experiences meeting Ramapada Maharaj? And so one of the experiences of many he told me about involving Himangi Matsuji is that when he first saw Nityananda Ramapada Maharaj sitting on the couch, everyone was seated on the ground like you guys are now, and Ramapada was on the couch. And so then he walked over to Ramapada Maharaj and sat right next to him. And so Himangi gave him a very deep and profound instruction. Then he squeezed down on the floor. And Vaishnavas are very merciful. So Ramapada Maharaj actually said, actually, it's okay, you can sit here. So that's the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the mercy of Himangi. You know, he got, you know, both sides of the mercy. Just like Vitrasura in his past life. Slow down. No, it's, trust me, it's coming. Uh-oh, it's coming. The glorification is coming for you. This was just so. So, What else did I say? All right. So anyway, so continuing with Jitendra. So actually, there was three people, like I said before, that I forgot to thank. I thank my mom, my brother, and Nityananda Paramprabhu, of course. So there was actually no one more happy to see me get initiated, actually, than my brother, my mother, and Jitendra, actually. there was no one, sincerely, and I'll tell you why. Is Ratap Prabhu here? No. So Ratap Prabhu, you guys should really talk to him, because he's actually been around since Jitendra's time. You know, even though he wasn't living in the temple, he has many stories about Jitendra. You know, everyone knows Jitendra as like, you know, kind of like Himagi. That's why maybe he has that compliment for, you know, he doesn't play that. Everyone knows you can't mess with them. So I felt very guilty, because after my initiation, I was in the hallway, and Jitendra came up to me. And the way I could describe it, the only way I could describe his expression was, is like a kid in a candy store, actually. He had a big smile on his face, and he hugged me. Throughout all my years of knowing Jitendra Prabhu, I've never known him to hug anyone, ever. And this fact is, I had another experience with him several years ago, many years ago. Actually, I put my hand on his shoulder. He said, "Don't touch me." So then I was like, okay, off limit. He said, "Don't touch me." So then I was like, he doesn't mess around. So I felt very grateful for that experience, and I kind of felt guilty, and I sincerely think that Krishna gave me the opportunity to not thank him, you know, at that time, because it gives me opportunity to kind of give a purport and elaborate on why I'm grateful, because I consider everyone here my Shiksha Guru, which means everyone's, you know, my instructing spiritual master. I could derive blessings from everyone. Of course, my brother, of course, obviously. But I thought about it. I'm like, I learned so many lessons from Jitendra over the years, and I kind of wanted to express that to you all. So hold on 1 second. All right. So I guess I could go back to my first experience with Jitendra. I remember my brother brought me to the temple probably for the first time, maybe. And so it was a very peaceful atmosphere. But of course, everyone's, you know, suffering this material. Nobody's free from suffering. That's explained in Bhagavatam and Gita, Dukkha Layama Shashvatam. Nobody's free from this suffering. You know, it doesn't matter how happy one looks. And before I continue with Jitendra, actually, I have a nice story in this regard regarding Justin. And that's going to be put on the spot. And she's not here right now. Rasika Mandri, actually, this is very fun. She's listening downstairs.
The kitchen listening.
Hopefully she's not. She might come in here and stop me. So anyways, I was maybe like last week. I was washing the pots, then I took a break, you know, and was lingering around in a prasadam hall. And so I was probably standing by the microwave at the time. And so I hear, you know, someone descend, you know, down to, you know, the dungeon area where there's like barely no light, prasadam hall area. I hear someone saying, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." And it was Rasika Madri, you know, coming. She was saying Hare Krishna to everyone. So I was thinking, I was like, no one's that happy, not even a Krishna consciousness. And not even chanting japa. So then I asked her, I said, you know, why are you so happy? She it was like, the only way I could describe it was like Lord Chaitanya freely, you know, distributing love of God. That's the only way I could describe it. And actually, Himanshu is my witness. This is a true story. This is a true story. I'm not exaggerating. So then she walked by me. I was like, why are you so happy? She was like, I'm not happy. I'm suffering. She was like, pray for me. So then, and that's good. That's okay. We're not all, you know, that doesn't mean we're not spiritual. You know, we all go through our difficulty. That's a fact. Every single one of us. So it's all right. And so on the flip side of the coin, I'm glad I had this experience. The same day, maybe, you know, a couple hours later, I was, you know, I talked to Justin. I approached Justin Prabhu. I was like, what's wrong? He was like, you know, I'm just feeling a little down. And he was like, how'd you know? I said, it's written all over your face. And so then I told him this instruction. I'm like, if you want to learn how to hide your suffering, take a Bhakti Sastri course from Rasika Manjari. He was like, really? So back to Jitendriya. So we'll go back to that. So that's the whole principle that, you know, we're all suffering. That's okay. So that's why we're all meant to help each other, obviously. So I'll get back to my first experience with Jitendriya, at least one of the first experiences. So my brother brought me to the temple, and it was very peaceful atmosphere. Anyone who comes here, you know, could see that it's like shanti, you know, very peaceful. It's, well, when they don't come on Sunday feast, it's very peaceful atmosphere. So I was, you know, probably in the lobby, you know, very peaceful atmosphere. And I was like, this is very nice. it's very calming energy. And so then all of a sudden, I hear like all this racket noise. I'm like, what's all that racket noise? And then like, boom, Jitendriya comes through the door with like his ladder. Making all this racket. So the only way I could describe this is his expression was, if you don't get out of my way, I'll knock you out. So I was thinking this dude looks mean, and look who's talking. And so then after associating with Jitendriya for some time, because he probably approached me to do some service, then I actually realized that this dude is me. He used so many curse words I never heard before. And then I realized that I told Justin, asked Justin the other day. He was with Justin the other day, and we were fixing some window. Jitendriya asked us to fix some window. And Jitendriya said a curse word. I'm not, exactly. How about the spelling? Anyways, so Justin was shocked. He was like, oh, the language. That's what he said. It was actually the other word. He actually gave Justin his first instruction that day. It was actually the synonym for a crap, C-R-I-P. He was like, what's the difference? There are four letters. You know, we put our mental concoction to it. What makes one more potent than the other or more negative than the other? It's simply our mental concoction. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah, that's what Jitendriya probably said. Of course, he's very merciful to us to not use those words in class because, you know, people might commit Vaishnava aparadha against him and not be able to see the pure bhakti behind such words. So that's what I told. That's actually what I told. And I'm very sincere. I told Justin that I'm very sincere. And there's scriptural references behind this. In the Gita 4.8, it said, what's that verse? Parichanai sadunam vinashai chadusukritam. So in this purport, actually, it's a very important point. In that purport, Prabhupada uses the word, he states that a sadhu, because in that Sanskrit verse, the word sadunam is used. So he says that even if a sadhu is not very cultured or learned, of course, Jitendriya is very learned, obviously, if you spend many times around him, actually. So, but we can't see past the external, you know, manifestation of his, you know, words. And he's very merciful to us not use such words in class because he know people wouldn't, you know, get it. We'll commit Vaishnava aparadha. So anyways, in this purport, Prabhupada mentions that even if someone isn't very learned or very well cultured, you know, they are still considered a sadhu, you know, despite, you know, like, curse words are uncultured. And we, you know, may criticize, like, when I first heard Jitendriya use curse words, I was like, how dare you? Like, I've never used them before. That's Maya's potency. Like, we never said these things before. And so I was kind of appreciating over the years, you know, we all judge and stuff, and that's the Vaishnava's mercy. They're always very forgiving. And that's what in the character I've seen, you know, in Jitendriya, because, of course, I judge too, but I'm doing the same thing. So that was my first experience with, one of my first and second experiences with Jitendriya. And the first instruction that he actually gave me, is actually based in humility, but it's very a profound instruction. He actually told me to wash the stairs. That wasn't funny, huh? oh, is this mic on? He actually told me to watch the stairs. And so I was thinking at the time, like, how dare you? I'm here to serve God. I'm not serving stairs. Anyway, I know he doesn't play that, so I did him anyways, because if you don't do it, you know you're going to get messed up. So me and actually Luke was joking about this for maybe a few weeks ago. So I was joking with him. Basically, he actually mentioned this. All credit to Luke. This is the joke he mentioned. He was like, that was like your entry-level job in devotional service. And so then for a few years, you know, washing the stairs, then I was promoted to pot washing, and I've been there ever since. And so basically what I'm trying to say is the lesson I learned from Jitendra was humility. Humility. So where am I going with this? No, not yet. I only know the first half. Now I'm kind of in, like, deer in the headlights because I didn't cross anything out. So I'm like, where's what? Use so many cards. Okay. All right, cool. All right, I'm going to cross all this out. It's not confuse me. That's my atyahara. It's like so many things confuse you over accumulation. So I have another incident of Jitendra. It's very funny. And there's another lesson involved in it. I'm not sure if I should tell you what the lesson is before or after it. I'll tell you what the lesson is after it. I think that'll be the punchline. So. Where's Rod Tapu? He's not here. It actually involves him. So I call this basically the red car incident. Rod Tapu? Prabhu? Hmm? How you know this one? So basically the scenario is just Ratsap Prabhu, he had a car. It was a very nice, I want to call it, you know, kind of like a convertible car, but it's not like the super expensive ones. And he had it, he wanted to donate it to the temple essentially. Jitendra, you know, to help him out, you know, he, you know, bought it for a good price, you know, bought it for the temple, whatever. And so Jitendra is very merciful. He actually lets, you know, people actually use that car. Like, who would let them use, like, a nice car like that? Because actually, we can see that the Krishna Lunch devotees, they're very merciful by distributing mercy, but the car is banged up all the time. Van is banged up. And Jitendra makes note of that all the time. Look what they're doing. Like, that's all. But that's his mercy. So he's, you know, actually instructing us to be more careful. And so anyway, he let one of his friends borrow the car. His friend is approximately his age, and he's actually known Jitendra for maybe since the Evanston temple, since this temple was in Evanston. So, you know, he's not initiated, but he's always been coming around. He's been good friends to Jitendra over the years. So Jitendra actually let him borrow the car. And so basically, you know, Jitendra is very merciful. Basically, this guy ruined the car, but he it's not offensive, it's not a criticism of him. Basically, this guy got a DUI. He kind of ruined the car a little bit. He left the top open. It's a kind of convertible, and it was raining that day. The car got towed. It was raining. The whole inside of the car got messed up. This guy even offered to pay for the damages. He didn't pay for the damages. And so I've never seen Jitendra so furious. You know, and we may criticize him. How could he be, you know, so, you know, materialistic? But just a few months ago, my brother actually said, what is most dear to us? Some people said their computer or phone. Jitendra, I've never seen him so furious. He you know, he told me the whole experience, and then he said, I'm never talking to that bastard again. And so then, actually, a week later, approximately, I'm exaggerating, actually. It was probably less than a month, though. A week later, I walk in his room, and he's just having a friendly conversation with the same guy. I'm like, so after he left, I'm like, I thought you were never talking to him again. He was like, well, you know, you got to give people some slack. That's what he said. So it was unbelievable. So basically, the lesson I learned from him is forgiveness. it's very easy to, you know, get, you know, so trapped in, you know, people insulting us all the time. I mean, somebody ruined his car, you know. So I was very kind of moved by this experience, because if anyone ruined our car or broke our thing, we'll vow to never talk to them again. We'll hold our word. And actually, I brought this up. Hold on 1 second. Forgive me. The Vaishnavas was unmerciful, so please correct me. I think that's the only, you know, close to word that should be censored. So there's nothing else in the script, I think, involving that. All right. So anyways, where was I going with this? I lose my train of thought very quickly, so. Red car lesson. That was the beginning. I need you guys help. Red cards. Oh yeah, okay. So he taught me the lesson on forgiveness, and so I actually brought this experience up to him, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago, and the worst thing in spiritual, the worst insult in spiritual life, someone can call you, is a hypocrite. And so, what is a hypocrite? Can anybody, you know, volunteer to help me out? Exactly. So actually, when I was bringing this experience to Jitendra one day, it was a glorification. I actually called him a hypocrite. He said he'll never talk to this guy again, and his actions said something otherwise. He's a hypocrite. And it's the lesson I learned from forgiveness. You know, he says one thing, I'm never talking to him again, and he does another. And then I appreciate this point. So next time anyone calls you a hypocrite, you should just say, thank you, I'm trying to be more forgiving. And they're like, huh? What is you talking about? And so that's a lesson I learned from Jitendra. So we shouldn't take things so serious. And I know living in a ashram among devotees, anyone who lives together, everyone has their problems, because we're all entangled by the mind, the false ego, the senses, the most material nature, the threefold miseries. So there's going to be friction all the time. But just let it go. Nothing's that big of a deal that we make it. It's not that serious. And these lessons I learned from Jitendra over the years, because I see so many people bickering all the time. And then I was like, how does he remain aloof, you know, all the time? Of course, he's in his room, you know, that's how, you know, basically. And that's why I'm in there all the time, so I can remain aloof. Not that I'm aloof spiritually, but that's why I go in his room all the time. And so that's the lesson I learned from him. And so this actually brings to mind, the opposite of a hypocrite is one who practices what they preach, right? Absolutely. And so this brings to mind a story, that actually a documentary I saw maybe 10 years ago or something. It was this Christian preacher, and he was absolutely right. He was like a kind of hillbilly, you know, preacher. So he said, I practice what I preach, and he was right. And I'll tell you why. Basically, he was a preacher who, in the name of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he ran like a kind of prostitute brothel. He would actually have women preach the gospel to and lure them, you know, for sex and preach the gospel to them. And so at the time, I was probably thinking, that's fantastic. But then I was thinking, obviously, this was actually a documentary about cheating religions, actually. And so it's obviously a cheating religion. You know, so, and so obviously the Bhagavatam, you know, kicks out this in the beginning, you know, this type of cheating religion. And so this type of practice which you preach program isn't very glorious, obviously. It's more glorious to be a hypocrite in forgiveness than be a practice which you preach and, you know, something not glorious. And so this brings to mind, basically, Justin's hiding his head. Okay, actually involves you now. So we were reading one of Prabhupada's in the Krishna book. We were reading one pastime, Bhrigu Muni, actually, pastime. That's the only pastime I really know, actually. Literally, that's the only pastime I know. He was like, what about the gopis? I'm like, what are you talking about? This is the only pastime. It's very dear to my heart for many reasons. Maybe I'll get to that later, but not now. But me and Justin probably was reading it the other day. And so one thing that Prabhupada mentioned in his commentary in the Christian book, Justin said, wow, that's a great saying. Prabhupada essentially mentioned that the greatness of a person has to be estimated by their ability to tolerate provoking situations. And so basically, in relation to this practice which you preach, Christian, it's not very, glorious, to practice this type of religion, practice what you preach, because the essence of spiritual life is basically sacrifice. Sacrifice, not very glorious. It's easy to practice that. We all want to practice that. But spiritual life means sacrifice. And so this I was appreciating about Justin, he actually was glorifying Prabhupada that one single statement. And God, I need more water. And so, where am I at? Yep. You may pass. Huh? Regal money. Yeah, that pastime is up. So, yeah, that's close by. What's close? Oh, yeah. So, this brings to mind Haridas Thakur. And this next joke is not mine, so I won't take credit for it. It's actually Justin's joke. So usually in comedy circles or anyone writes the scripts, we can see in Kali Yuga means you take credit, for everything somebody does. But I can't take credit for this joke. So Prabhupada mentioned that the greatness of a person has to be estimated by their ability to tolerate provoking situations. And obviously Nityananda Prabhu brought up the story of Haridas Thakur, a few weeks ago. And so, the story of Haridas Thakur is basically, what is it, Shan Kazi? He became envious of Haridas Thakur. Ramachandra Khan, he became envious of Thakur. He was very popular due to his austerity and purity and his chanting his rounds. And so he sent Mayadevi in the form of a prostitute to, to seduce him or whatever. And so basically the pastime of Haridas Thakur is that he's chanting his rounds and the prostitute basically says, will you fulfill my desires? And Haridas Thakur says, yes, after I'm done with my rounds. And Justin was like, if that was us, we would be like, what a coincidence. I just finished my last round. What a coincidence. I'm glad you guys laughed because that was his joke. So I can't take credit for that one. What a coincidence. All right. Peer reveal. Anyway, so this actually brings to mind of Haridas Thakur, he became very popular, obviously, due to his purity and devotion. And that's actually mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, one of the verses I first learned. And the reason I remembered it is because the word Jitendriya is used in it. The verse is a very important verse. I remember bringing it up to Chandramali Maharaj. And he said, yes, I really like that verse. Probably because Jitendriya is mentioned in it. The verse is 5.7. The verse is Yoga Yukto Vishu Dhamma Vichi Dhamma. Vichidatma Jitendriya, Sarvabhutatma Bhutatma Kurvanapi Nalipyate. It says, one who works in devotion and who is a pure soul and who controls his mind and senses is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. Although always working like Jitendriya, such a person is never entangled in Mayadevi. I edited the verse a little bit, but essentially that's the verse. And actually, over the years, I asked Jitendriya, I was like, there's been so many people who've come and gone in this temple. How have you remained in the temple for over 40 years? So what he told me was, because I'm stupid. That's what he told me, because I'm stupid. And so the lesson I got from that is another lesson in humility. Another lesson in humility. And so actually, there's so many... It's mind-boggling that, anyone could, stay around because, like I said, we're entangled in the mind, the most material nature, etc. And so, for example, one of his first experience in Krishna consciousness that he told me about, it's unbelievable how he stayed in here, in the temple. He said, one of my first experience, if not first experience, I came to the Hare Krishna temple in Evanston. And, our kitchen doesn't have swinging doors. This kitchen had, swinging doors that go in and out. And so he said one of my first experiences that one devotee He actually, it's not funny, but it's funny, because how did he stay around? One devotee, he actually punched his wife through the swinging doors. Welcome to the Hare Krishna temple. And he stuck around. No, most people who see that, they'll be like, this religion is not for me. And we shouldn't think that, you know, there hasn't been many allurements in his way throughout the years. He first came when he was in his mid-20s, 25, very young. And so over the years, he explained that, he told me, and I'm very grateful, I never asked him. That's why I feel gratitude. I felt like I was his, one of his true friends, because it's kind of considered rude to ask people personal questions, especially, you know, if you don't know too much about them, or if it's not meant to glorify, if it's meant to criticize. So I never asked him anything. You know, usually I was just always hanging around him. And so he said, one thing he told me was, maybe I did ask him a question. How did you not get allured by the material energy? Actually, I didn't ask him a question. He actually mentioned one time to me, just different people over the years, he was like, in relation to Haridas Thakur pastime, he said, you know, this one Mataji asked me to get married, you know, or whatever. You know, while he was living, many women proposed to him. And you know what he would say? He was like, oh, I'm just not marriage material. That's what he would say. I'm just not marriage material. He was like, oh, I'm just not marriage material. many times. And how has he managed to overcome? So that was the lesson I learned from him, especially gratitude, humility. That humility always protects us. We may be struggling with our, you know, various misconceptions or being tangled by the mind, senses, but, you know, that's gonna eventually be, you know, rectified in the future by Krishna, because we're not the controller. Ishwara Panama Krishna, we have no power to control our senses. It's impossible. Therefore, another name of Krishna is, what is it? Hrishikesha, what does that mean? The master of the senses, exactly. So then I realized the lesson I learned over Jitendriya over the years is that being grateful and being humble, it's not possible. He stayed out of the entanglement of the material energy. And I was very grateful to hear those experiences from him. Because, like I said before, I consider him a Shiksha guru. I'm one of my primary ones because I hang around him all the time. And then, like I said, on my initiation day, I was thinking, what if I learned from Jitendriya? Taking out the garbage, you know, crushing just. And then Krishna was like, nah. Nah, you didn't. You learned way more than that. So, where was I at? Oh, yeah, free from proprietorship. I feel like Maya kind of used me to basically incite, you know, his false ego and his sense of proprietorship. Because sometimes, you know, over the years, he's been very detached over the years. And I was like, how do you remain detached? Just like, for example, we hear in the past signs of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, one of the instructions Bhakti Siddhanta actually told Prabhupada was preach books. You know, if possible, you know, preach books, print books all the time. And, you know, if necessary, basically, in that sense, you know, build temples. But our primary duty is to print books. And actually, the motivation behind this pastime, this quote by Bhakti Siddhanta, was actually that in the pastimes of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, even in Bhakti Siddhanta's time, there were many, you know, profound devotees. But if, correct me if I'm wrong, they argued over who would get who which room. Is that correct? So they argue over who would get which room, and this was the actually primary motivation. And so actually Maya used me to incite, I realized, Jitendriya's false ego, but has no false ego at all. So sometimes over the years, there's been many, you know, devotees move in different rooms and stuff, and Jitendriya has all this stuff in like 10 rooms. So obviously he has to give up something. And that's, you know, that's good also too. So we're not criticizing anyone. That's good. But I was trying to incite his false ego, and I realized it. I was like, you're a Prabhupada disciple. You've been here for over 40 years. You should have some say of where you stay, and it should be your word. And he said, well, you know, that's it, basically. That's it. I was trying to incite his false ego. He has no false ego. I wish Acharya Nishtha Prabhu was here, actually, at the time. I was sitting at the table one day, and actually, Himanshu was my witness. He was there also at the time. Acharya Nishtha said something very glorious of Jitendriya. He was like, wow, you know, sometimes when it's late at night, I get to spend some time with Jitendriya. He was telling me, he was like, man, the word he used, he said, it's pure nectar. That's what he said. Nectar. That's what he said. He was like, I know Jayabala Dave, you know, you get to associate with him a lot. And so then when I told Jitendriya this, I was like, Acharya Nishtha, you know, said, you know, associating with you is pure nectar. First I told him I didn't get that. I was joking with him, of course. And so what he said was, why would he want to associate with me? He was like, he said, you know, some people like stool and some people like honey. That's what he said. And so this reminds me of, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not very sashrically inclined, obviously. So Lord Chaitanya basically said, you know, as far as humility is concerned, is that we should think of everyone as a Vaishnava but our own self. Is that correct? Ibhati Siddhanta? Okay. And so this is the kind of, and this is what Acharya Nishtha said. I told Acharya Nishtha Prabhu this. I told him, I told Jitendra actually what you said. And Acharya Nishtha actually gave me instruction. He was like, you know, generally it's not good to, you know, tell devotees compliments to their face because we have false ego. we become proud. Somebody tell us to his face. And so I told him what Jitendra said, you know, why would he want to associate with him? He was appreciating him again. He was like, see, he has no false ego at all. You know, if that was us, we would be thinking, you know, Krishna's merciful, you know, Krishna's very merciful. I thank you that, you know, my association is nectar. So it's very difficult, you know, when someone gives you a compliment and not to be incited by the false ego. It's impossible, actually. It's impossible, but by Krishna's mercy and one's gratitude, I learned from Jitendra over the years, is that then only the impossible becomes possible. And so another lesson of many lessons. Actually, I have many lessons, but unfortunately, we don't have unlimited time. One lesson I learned from Jitendra is basically the dati pratigrinati something something. What is that? basically exchanging gifts of love between devotees. And actually, Jitendra actually exchanged gifts with me. Actually, he's did many times. I would be sleeping in his room and, you know, exhausted from pots or tired or whatever from whatever, or, you know, the day. And I would be sleeping on the floor. Then he'll actually put his blanket over me. he's done it many times. No, free from proprietorship, not this mine. Aham Ameti, you know, I am this body. Everything is mine. That actually reminds me, my cousin, when I babysitted him growing up, and my brother about this. My brother is very comical. This is actually a true story. Our cousin, that's why I got tired of babysitting. I want to, you know. I'm like, thank God this is not my kid, because I, you know, would have committed homicide. Basically, he would... he actually drew on me one day. I had a white shirt on. He drew on me. So I was like, under the most material nature, I was like... So one quote that my cousin would say all the time, he was like 5 years old. And I swear to God, ask my brother, this is the truth. This is the truth. He said, everything, if I pick up a cup, he will walk over and say, mine. We'll pick up a tray or a toy or anything. He'll grab it and be like, mine. This is the only word he knew, mine. And then I realized, my brother got the realization that we're being trained up by Maya from the beginning of birth. That's what my brother said from the beginning of birth. Aham Ameti, you know, I am this body and everything is mine. And so that's why we're very fortunate to get, you know, association of Vaishnavas like Jitendra to, you know, get free from this sense of proprietorship and entangling the web of material existence. And so that's my other point that I was wanting to mention, the dati, prati, whatever. it basically says exchanging gifts of love. But this is what I kind of felt emotional when I kind of I felt that he kind of, you know, considered me a genuine friend. Because like the point I mentioned before, usually it's not good to ask personal questions about people. You know, it's kind of considered rude, especially not with the intention of glorifying them. and so I never asked, you know, Jitendra any question. He just, you know, bring up things from time to time. So just recently, maybe within his last year, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me bringing up this situation. So, but before I explain what that was, I'd like to ask Prahlad a question. Suppose your parents sent you to Gurukul for, let's say, 5 years, and they stayed in Chicago. How would you feel? Exactly, not so good. And that's our, of course, we'll all feel like that, being separated from our family. It's natural, so we shouldn't consider, you know, I shouldn't be not attached to family, you know, I'm not spiritual. it's okay, you know, we all have to go through our purifications or whatever. But anyways, one thing I've kind of felt, when Jitendra told me this story, where I kind of felt like he kind of designated me as a true friend, is that, of course, growing up in the 70s, you know, he was born in 1950. He had many brothers and sisters born in 1950. And so, of course, you know, during his 20s, teens and 20s, he grew up, you know, during the Vietnam War, during the, you know, marijuana age, or not marijuana, say it again, civil rights movements, and what were the drugs used at the time? Not marijuana, that's today. huh? Yeah, LSD and, Oh, LSD and I don't know what other drugs are called. And so, you know, alcohol, of course, that's universal. that transcends time. and so, of course, naturally he became entangled in, you know, mainly just alcohol and, you know, LSD. You know, and but he gave up alcohol. Basically, he was like, you know, I love drinking, but basically, you know, I got tired of the hangovers, so he renounced it. I got in his 20s. He was like, you know, the hangovers are just, you know, it's one experience. He told me, I hope you forgive me. I hope I'm able to explain this. It's not an embarrassing experience. It's actually a very touching experience. He told me that, you know, in the course of doing his LSD, before he met devotees, because he met devotees in his mid-20s, he was approximately 21 years old. And so when he had one of his LSD, you know, trips, because as Ratha Prabhu, you know, anyone who grew up in that age had LSD trips. We all have our faults, naturally. So before I mention this story, one sutra of Jitendra mentioned in a Bhagavatam class maybe a week ago. And it's very profound. It's a profound saying. he said, and it's very, it connects to this Vishwasura pastime. He basically said, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. How many of you remember that saying? Exactly. Jitendra raised his hand. I remember it. Of course you did. You said it. So it's not like we haven't been entangled in a web of material. This experience Jitendra told me about, he was like, you know, when he was on one of his LSD trips around his parents at his house when he was, you know, approximately 20, 21, basically what he said was, he said, you know, obviously, I thought my parents were mine. probably like Vishwasura. Imagine Vishwasura, you know, somebody looks like that. So what he said was, he was like, I start choking my dad. And so then his dad, obviously, maybe this is his dad's mercy to, actually, this is, I kind of consider it his dad's mercy. Actually, every bad experience we have in the scripture that explains is actually the mercy of the Lord. So I consider his dad, in retrospect, now thinking about it, his dad was actually his instructing spiritual master to lead him to devotees. His dad actually kicked him out of the house, naturally. and actually, this led him to devotees. This led him to devotees because he was kicked out. He actually traveled around the country, you know, like we're all wandering throughout the universe looking for some type of happiness. And he was wandering actually throughout, you know, the country. And he eventually came back to Chicago and he stayed in the YMCA, et cetera, so many, in other places and stuff. He probably hasn't even told me everything actually. So, but basically, somehow or other, he came in contact with devotees, you know, by, I think his first experiences was coming in contact with the Bhagavad Gita and one particular devotees. So he actually saw Prabhupada on TV. Prabhupada, you know, who are these, you know, silly Hare Krishnas, you know, was on TV at the time. You know, very interested in that connection. And he eventually wind up coming to the Association of Devotees in Evanston Temple. And pretty much he's been here ever since. And I don't want to speak too long, but pretty much that's my whole presentation. I probably have more of this. Like I said, there's unlimited things to say. And I don't want to go too long, but I kind of want to leave it on a kind of good note. And if anyone has anything to say in glorification or what you appreciate about Jitendra, I know it's kind of put on the spot, but I mean, feel free to say something. So, I mean.
Yeah, just in that period of time you're talking about, Jitendra Prabhu told me one time that he was living in his friend's basement and without any food or water, and he was just reading Bhagavad Gita every day for many hours, like during that time that you're talking about where he was not living at home with his parents. I remember one time he told me that when he first came to the temple, they just gave him so many pots to wash, like so many pots to wash.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that story because I always felt like, wow, who would survive that? We wouldn't have survived.
Thank you for telling me that. I forgot about that. Actually, just so in the Evanston Temple, and I think I have a lot of pots. You don't know what they dealt with back then. That's because I'm not grateful. Actually, none of us are grateful. We complain all the time in the kitchen. We're like bickering. How come Michael isn't here? How come Himanshu isn't here? Or whatever. One person is not here. We like fight all the time. But we don't know what Jitendra had to deal with. Or all the devotees back then had to deal with. So basically, there was unlimited pots, basically, unlimited, literally. And Jitendra probably was one of the main pot washers. And so he was like, the devotees will have him washing pots pretty much, you know, 24 hours a day. Of course, we say we should engage in devotion 24 hours, but that was over the board. And so basically what he said was there was a basement area. In the old Evanston Temple, actually used to be an old YMCA, and there used to be a basement where no one would go. And the reason no one would go there because it was haunted by ghosts. It was haunted by ghosts. And you know what Jitendra said? He was like, just to escape the pots, I would go in the basement just to escape the pots. He'd rather be with ghosts than those pots. He was like, it's more peaceful here than, you know, washing pots. And who would do that? I'm not lying. This, it feels like it's an exaggeration, but it's no exaggeration whatsoever. And so thank you for bringing that experience up. You could go ahead again.
One more thing that really I appreciate a lot. Jitendra was telling me one time how he was talking to His Holiness Radhanath Swami, and he was asking Radhanath Maharaj, like, how is so-and-so at New Vrindavan, and how is so-and-so, and how is so-and-so? And then Radhanath Maharaj just looked at him and said, do you know anyone in good standing? And and I really appreciate that story because it showed to me that the ones that those people that no one really cares about, Jitendra cares about them, you know.
That brings together another experience, unbelievably. Of course, in the course of associating with Jitendra, and I'd like to do a disclaimer that Nityananda Prana doesn't happen anymore, and I'll tell you why. Or it hasn't happened lately, but it doesn't happen. So basically, over the years, especially in the winter, it'd be cold outside, freezing, especially last winter. And Nanda Pran probably knows where I'm going with this. It'd be cold outside. So anyone who's outside, you know, they're going to die probably. So basically when it would become late at night, when the devotees are kind of winding down, going to bed, you know, Jitendra will bring, you know, somehow or other his homeless friends and sleep in a room with him. And I'll be with them, you know, chatting with them up. And of course, he was like, you know, of course, we shouldn't this doesn't happen anymore. So this is a disclaimer. That's what I mean. So in case you know, want to come in Jitendra room, you know, do pre-chats all the time, like all the time, it doesn't happen anymore. So it hasn't happened in years, actually, maybe a year or two. Himangi, yo, you could cut me off, so go ahead. No, in a good way, so.
Few appreciation about Jitendra Prabhu. Excuse me, Mataji.
That's okay, we're all humble. I didn't even see it.
So something that I really appreciate about Jitendra Prabhu is he's a voracious reader. Like, you know, even though he does so much physical service and he's, you know, active the whole day, but he does read also a lot. Like the latest book, whatever comes, you know, he needs to have it, he needs to read it. So I appreciate that about him. It's not just, you know, generally people have this tendency if they like to do physical seva, like, you know, work, they generally don't focus so much on hearing and reading and all that. But Jitendra Prabhu is good with that also. The fact that after every Bhagavatam class, he has some quote from Prabhupada, like, you know, that shows, like, you know, how much he is well read and he has heard Prabhupada. So I really appreciate that about Jitendra Prabhu. He kind of he's involved in the class and he gets a nice flavor to the class, you know, by his comments. And it's interesting how I trouble Jitendra Prabhu. My sense of cleanliness is if you don't use anything, you just throw them away. So I think he was happy that Daita took over as a temple commander. He didn't have to deal with me because we both used to really have a lot of challenges working together, because the moment I start cleaning anything in the temple, Jitendra Prabhu will be waiting near the door to see what I'm throwing, to make sure that nothing is thrown. And I will keep telling.
Keep going in the garbage, she's like.
And that's how I got the name Mother Superior.
And thank you for bringing that up. I'm glad you guys are helping me out, because I actually have this on my one point on my list that I wanted to mention, but it's so long, I'm going to forget everything. So, about. Cleanliness is funny. Of course, you know, it takes one to know one. When I was, you know, hanging out in his room, you know, he would have, you know, dust everywhere. Well, some dust, newspapers, you know, clothes. That's because he's working all day. He's doing painting. Of course, he's going to be tired, and it's okay. That's natural. And so, you know, at first I was thinking, you know, God, you know, this guy's in a mode of ignorance. But I was hanging around him, so it takes one to know one. So that's why I was hanging around him all the time. And so this brings to mind of the subject matter of dust, actually. And this is actually a very kind of blockbuster Michael Jordan verse. And the reason I call it a Michael Jordan verse is because there's so many verses in the Bhagavatam, you can't remember where it said what. But over the course of browsing through the Bhagavatam, you know, just flipping, you know, trying to find, you know, some verses to inspire me, you know, I came across a verse. This is a very important verse, and it's easy to remember where it is. It's actually 23:23. Of course, everyone knows Michael Jordan's number is 23, probably. So, probably, maybe not the Indians, I'm not sure. Well, maybe not the prime, probably.
What is it?
Michael Jordan's number? You don't? Oh, he didn't.
I'd rather not.
Okay. So, actually, the number is 20, his number 23. So, actually, the verse is in the second console, third chapter, verse 23. So, that's easy to remember, 23:23. And in this verse, I don't remember what the verse verbatim says. Can anyone read that verse? Because I don't want to, butcher it. yeah, second console. What did I say? Chapter 3? Yeah. Verse 23. Yeah. So it's easy to remember. Michael Jordan, slam dunk. The first half of the verse, not the second half.
Do you know the first one?
I'm not verbatim. I kind of just chop it up. So, I mean, somebody can read it for me. Who has the mic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought y'all had a. I didn't know you was gonna come all the way over here.
Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 23. Translation?
Only the first half.
The person who has not who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body.
Thank you. And so I realized, you know, associating with Jitendra, you'll find a lot of dust. Ventilation dust, basement dust, paint dust, all types of dust. And this actually goes into regards to Himagi's question. Of course, as, you know, second initiated brahmanas, you know, we try to keep everything clean, obviously. So, and one lesson before I explain this is that all the lessons we learn in Krishna consciousness is never throw away prasadam. We all learn that, right? Because it's prasadam, it's the Lord's mercy. It doesn't mean food, it means the Lord's mercy. So every devotee could be prasadam. The dust could be prasadam. And so in the course of cleaning, you know, our room, so I remember this. In the course of cleaning our room, or Jitendra's room, we may criticize, you know, when we see him, oh, he has so much stuff, so much dust. This is a kind of a comical point. But anytime we clean a room, we should think we're throwing away prasadam. We're throwing away prasadam. Anytime we're cleaning, and then I realized that's how I've, you know, attained, you know, Jitendra's mercy. Because in regards to this Vitrasura pastime, basically we don't know who anyone was in their previous life. And obviously, you know, so for someone to attain the mercy in association of Prabhupada, you know, had to be a great person. Not only attain the mercy, but stick around in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, you know, don't be surprised. Can somebody say it? Can you say it in the mic?
Prabhupada said, do not be surprised by how many come.
Yeah.
You should be surprised by how many stay.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so is mine, Baba.
Last thing is, I remember, it's very easy to please Jitendra Prabhu. You just have to take care of the temple, you know, do something for the deities or for the temple, and he's very pleased. And one of my first experiences way back, remember Kanta Mataji wanted to paint the lobby and the gift store, and Abhimanyu Prabhu was there. You know Abhimanyu, the tall?
Yeah, like 6, like 7,
yeah.
8 feet tall. He's about 8 feet tall.
Eight feet tall.
So I was helping him. He was in charge of the gift store at the time, and he asked me, can you help me make it look a little bit more beautiful? So I said, Prabhu, we need to paint. You know, it looks so bad. We need to paint. And he said, oh, forget it. You know, so I went and asked Jitendra Prabhu, I think we want to paint, you know, I think painting would be, and he was so thrilled about it. And he immediately got me a ladder, he got me the paint, he got me the brushes, and Jitendra Prabhu and myself, we were painting like late into the night. That was my first day in Kishore temple.
Your
I stayed
first
back.
Time?
I stayed back at the temple. I never stayed at the temple before that. So Jitendra Prabhu and I were like painting the gift store and then the lobby. So it was very nice. So I thought, oh, it's so easy to please him, you know.
Thank you for sharing.
Oh, Jeremy's been waiting, sorry.
I'm very grateful, Jai Baladev, that you've given this class. I think this day is long overdue.
Class is glorification.
Exactly. And as you were talking, I tried to jot some things down, but truly it's unlimited, the things he's done for us. He lends me Lilamrita, one after the other. He always encouraged me. He's a voracious reader himself, but he always encouraged that part of my personality and lent me one volume after the other, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. He worships Tulsi every day with such devotion. Sometimes when I drive up in the mornings, I see him like a block away from the temple picking up little bits of the garbage because he wants...
I remember... A week. And so I was thinking, maybe I should humble myself and clean it up. So then I was like, nah, I told you, Tendra, there's a rat in the alley. So I don't know if he cleaned it up or not, but Christian gave me the opportunity to be humble, and I failed the test. So anyway, he cleans the alley all the time, like all the time. It's to be filthy. Cleans the alley all the time. So I'm sorry I cut you off.
Oh, that's fine. He also has attempted to teach me humility. He lent me a dhoti for the first time. And it was such fancy colors, I was thinking, he's never going to use this, but I don't want to ask him for it. But when he saw how happy I was, he immediately offered it to me because he was willing to give it up because he's detached. But also the humility, he showed me how to tie it, And I came back the next day. I was like, did I get it right? Does it look nice? And he said, you're not the center of the show. Because this was the day we were taking Lord Jagannath out to see for Jagannath to spread his mercy. And he wanted to make sure I understood. This was for Jagannath, not for me.
Thank you. So, if... I conclude the class with...
I was talking to Bhasha Ghosh, you know, and he was saying that ISKCON's becoming a personality cult. You know, that, you know, people are... He would call it the flavor of the month or the flavor of the week, you know, this personality. And, it just kind of made me think, like, where's this going, you know? And when somebody's being glorified or something, it's just like, you know, that's not all true, you know? You know what I'm saying? You know, we're not supposed to...
doubt.
Well, I mean, you know, we, you know, it says know thyself. We know thyself, you know, so we know we have a lot of shortcomings. So when people say something, you think, well, is that right? Or, you know, but, you know, just to encourage other people, we try to set a good example. So, and I remember Malati was here and she said, POD, she says, I'm not POD, in her experiences, Prabhupada on demand. So, like, we're not always, right on time with our examinations of ourselves or examinations of other people. So it's a little perplexing, you know. You know, when we're glorifying somebody, it's being directed to you. You kind of, like with Ramapad Swami, you know, every January, you know, we have his Vyasa Puja and stuff. And then that one, Bhakti Siddhanta. I don't know when he was being praised. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I don't know. if you ever get a chance to read that, it's really enlightening, you know, on where he's at and how he describes himself and, you know, the whole arrangement where he's being worshipped. So, but, you know, a lot of times you say, well, we're not really worthy of that, you know, so it leaves you a little confused, you know. I'm just, a little confused because... a lot of devotees are, doing a lot of things. Oh, I was just reading Aesop's Fable. A man carries two bags, one in the front and one on the back. The one in the front is the faults of others, and the ones on the back are the faults of himself. Well, he very, very easily sees the faults of others, but he doesn't see the faults that are on his back. So we have to reflect like that, you know. And then about Mother Hamungi was saying about throwing things out. I found some brass trays in there and brass, and I.
He was like, "How dare you!"
And I was thinking, you know, this is money, but then I think it's, you know, it still has a purpose, you know. And then I remember Nityananda Pran was. One time there was something in the garbage, and it was recyclable aluminum, and there was a lot of it in there, and he got a little upset with me, I think, you know. But I turned it in, and every time I turn this stuff in, there's a lot of money involved, because I remember in the Evanston Temple, they had these doors, and they were all painted with multi coats of paint, and the devotees just threw the doors out because there was some kind of arrangement going on. So I found out that they were copper underneath. So I took them apart and I got like about $135, and that was like, you know, because they were huge, heavy doors. And, not everybody sees the value in metals and stuff like that. What does it say? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But I guess I'm... surrounded by sense objects all the time, so I kind of evaluate them, whereas other people might not find any value in them. And then, you know, Prabhupada says, we're always changing things. But we're a throwaway culture, you know, it's just, so I don't know, I guess I'm a little too much of a hoarder, I guess, but, you know, I try to kind of hide that, you know, but I'm sure there's a few other things I could say, but I'm a little perplexed right now, but.
That's just, you know, long, but if anyone has anything to say, maybe we could go maybe another 5 minutes, Matt.
I just want to add one last point, so two quick ahead. Things. One, I'll never forget, and I think we should always remember this, just as this humility when you're talking about Rupad Maharaj's Vyasa Puja, when Rupad Maharaj asked Jitendra Prabhu to say something, and Jitendra Prabhu ended his little offering with the joke. He said, "You know, when they see you, they think, how can I be like him? And when they see me, they think, how did they let him into the building? You know?
How can I what?
How did they let him?
Must be in the wrong building. Must be in the wrong building.
Oh, he must be in the wrong building.
Yeah, when they see you, he's not a robot. Rupad Maharaj, like, when they see you, they think, how can I be like him? And when they see me, they think I must be in the wrong building.
That's what I actually thought when I was called Jitendra, actually. No, I'm not lying. I was like, you know, I'm like, who let such a mean dude in the temple? But look, you know, I was like, this dude is mean. How can they let him? See, that's what I thought too. So, Vaishnava Parat, but they're merciful.
Yeah, the second thing I just want to add real quick was, I think for those who don't have the eyes to appreciate, it's really helpful when others who do do that. And so then those who don't have the eyes to appreciate can also see it that way. So I thank you for helping us see a diamond for what it is, because most of us just, like you say, we just go for the externals, you know. But thanks to you, we can appreciate a thing for what it is. So really grateful to you for that.
Oh, Jitendra, you got it. I want to stand it.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
I was just... When they don't like you, you're a control freak. And when they do like you, they say that's quality control.
Thank you. One last point, and it's 2 seconds. So in conclusion, so this is the last point. So I'm very grateful for giving this experience. I feel like. Traveling throughout, you know, the story of Radhanatha Maharaj. The teaching basically says that when you perform a charitable deed, do not sound. Secret will himself reward you openly. And so I felt like, you know, I've been given this. I'm grateful to be awarding him the due respect and gratitude he undoubtedly deserves. And Radhanatha Maharaj mentioned, I never forgot it. So basically the quote says, Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And we can see that. Srimad Bhagavatam. Or glorification of Jitendra Ki, Jai.
Thank you.